Yo, you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Bruh, Migos Podcast back again. Jamming in your ear hole. We're going to try to go ahead and get this one up early for y'all. You know, we're recording on a Sunday morning this time. And we're coming to you guys. It's playoffs.
So we're
getting on to the last of the NFL.
So good.
These two games and then just the Super Bowl. Yeah, but we're not here to talk about that part of the NFL, right? Nah. But what we do want to talk about with you guys is the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees. Who do you think is going to be in? Rob has the Chiefs analogy. Josh Allen has to go through the real gauntlet of black quarterbacks now because back in the day, we ain't have one. Look where we at now, baby. Look where we at.
We here,
and
baby.
We're going to talk comics, NBA coaching attire, WWE tag team moves, and the demise of our Bruh Migos Podcast Twitter page.
Rest in piss.
And all of that today. Bruh Migos Podcast. What I got to do, Rob?
Hit that music, my dog.
4, 3.
Yes, Rob, let's jump into it.
What up?
Look, Pro Football Hall of Fame. We got a list.
Mm-hmm.
We know who's possible inductees.
Mm-hmm.
But let's shine a little light to the people. Let them know who we
us
think should go in. As you guys should know, Pro Football Hall of Fame, they only take like 4 or 5 guys a year. And there's a list of great players out there every year that possibly could go in. One that I'm going to kind of stand on the hill next to my buddy and we going to say his ass shouldn't be in there. But we're about to jump into some of that right now. Rob, you have a few picks. I'm going to tell you where I'm kind of with you on some of the picks, but who do you think is going to make it in there?
All right, first things first, got to represent for the hometown, even though he's not from there technically, but he represented it and he actually won a Super Bowl with us. Torrey Holt, of course, from the greatest show on turf. He was an all-pro receiver, basically one of the best receivers in the league at his time. Greatest show on turf. He was the go-to target for Kurt Warner in that year. Basically, you had him, Isaac Bruce, Isaac King, all those cats, you know. Ricky Pro, you know, shout out to you too. But Torrey Holt, been deserving to go into the Hall of Fame, still deserving to go into the Hall of Fame. One of the best receivers of the early 2000s of that time, like very much needs to be in the Hall of Fame. That's my number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two name, guy that basically was the part of the revolution of the tight end position, you know, along with Tony Gonzalez, Jeremy Shockley, Jimmy Graham. He was that other side of it where you basically had basketball players all playing tight end. Antonio Gates absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game. Between him, Shannon Sharp, like I said, Tony Gonzalez, like Gronk, all those guys basically all deserving, but he's up there with them. Basically was the key piece to those San Diego Chargers runs, along with LaDainian Tomlinson, but essentially the guy that basically was the go-to target for Phillip Rivers. Like, he is that dude, very much been that dude, very much deserve it. I will be surprised if he doesn't go in. Number three. Now, I know that this might be controversial. I don't even know if it would be, but for somebody like me, that's a smaller cat, always loved him, always loved watching him play. Former All-Pro, former, you know, best of the league, basically guy, Steve Smith Sr., dog. Like, that man, always basically one of the most intense individuals, one of the most, like, scrappy individuals as far as play. Had great seasons with the Panthers and the Ravens, you know, was that dude. Like, I mean, he was. If not the best, one of the best top three receivers in the league for his time. Guy that basically, like I said, like, shorter guy, scrappier guy, basically always, you know, big on jump balls, always there to basically, you know, fight for reception. You know, if you see this face, it means I score. You know, like, that's what that dude is. He's always been known as that. Definitely deserving. Another name, I'm going to bring in a couple linebackers for this one. So the first one I'm going to bring in, part of that Ravens defense, a big part of the Ravens defense, along with Ed Reed and along with Ray Lewis.
Ed was there.
You know, at Bart how would they say Bart Starr? Whatever. He was one of the basically best players on that defense, one of the best linebackers. Terrell Suggs, from Arizona State, all-pro guy, like basically one of the best linebackers in the game, you know, when he played. Had some nice years with the Cardinals too, in and out of his career and everything like that. But him as a Raven, always basically one of the best linebackers in the league, definitely deserving to be in. The next one, career got cut short due to injuries. But essentially a big part of that Panthers defense, five-time All-Pro. Like, he would have basically gone down as, like, arguably one of the best middle linebackers in all of the game. Luke Kuechly. It's not the best thing to say about him, but the only indelible mark that I remember was the last game that he played, where he's crying coming off the field because I think he knew it was over. And he knew that, like, hey, he's had so many concussions that basically he just couldn't make it. And so, but no, one of the best linebackers in all the league, basically from the time that he was drafted to the time that he stopped playing. So that definitely deserving. But the last name I will bring up is a kicker. So be, you know, everybody put your listening ears on and just, you know, just say it with me. Adam Vinatieri is basically deserving to basically be in the Hall of Fame. The seminal piece of those Patriots runs, he basically had the last kicks, was a great kicker in his time. He played a lot of years with the Patriots and the Colts, and was one of the best kickers in the league in that time. But yeah, like I said, we give a lot of credit to Tom Brady and everything like that, but the man that basically was the final piece and the nail in the coffin for these teams, especially the first two Super Bowl runs that they had, was Adam Vinatieri. He was the one that made the kicks and basically ended those games. So that's who we had: Torrey Holt, Antonio Gates, Steve Smith, Terrell Suggs, Luke Kuechly, and Adam Vinatieri. That's who I have. That's what we have as far as Bramigos. What you think about it, bro?
I like all this. Now, there are some guys that we got to talk about that possibly could go in or out of this. And one guy who I'm going to look at y'all if y'all put him in here, and I'm going to say shenanigans.
We're going to say shenanigans.
So, yes, we're definitely going to say shenanigans. Jared Allen is up here. Definite big time whenever he was a definite big time. Just defensive. Vikings legend. Yep. Vikings legend, yes. Reggie Wayne is up here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other sides of Peyton Manning's great, like, offensive weapons that he had, okay?
Yep.
Fred Taylor is up here. Those are guys that I do think that are going to make it, just not this year. Okay? Now, as Woody would say it, there's a snake in my boot, and a lot of you guys may or may not agree with what I'm about to say. Eli Manning is up here.
Mm.
Granted, he did win two Super Bowls, okay?
That's true.
This is true. If he goes in, he does not need to go right now. He does not need to go in right now at all. There is a list of other people up here that can go in ahead of him. And I'm going to be honest with you. Most of them I'm putting in there before him. And you can call me a hater. Call me a hater. Eli Manning isn't first ballot like his brother. Okay? Let's just be real about the situation. I know some people are going to agree, some people are going to disagree, some people are going to call me a hater. I'm fine with you calling me a hater. I really am. Because you know what I'm not? I live in a world of reality that knows that one brother picks his boogers and flicks them, and the other one wipes them and blows them into a Kleenex, okay? There's a difference in mannerisms with that, okay? And if you ain't figured it out, Peyton Manning is the well more civilized brother. He was the more winning brother. Okay, he didn't win the Super Bowls, but he was the regular season quarterback god at a point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was him. Eli has never been that. Did Eli have great runs? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've said it, and me and Rob have said this time and time again. If a team gets hot at the right time, they can take off and go win anything. And that's what happened both times with Eli. Eli didn't have the best set of weapons. They did have a hell of a front four on that defense do with mm-hmm. that NASCAR package with those big fast brothers up front. Now, I will say that that was a very big key in them getting the people and make and disrupting people. But that team always got hot at the right time and they ran through people. Okay. I'm not saying he never deserves to go in there. Just not right now. Fred Taylor is another person. Me and Rob were just talking about this. Fred Taylor had a very great career. Him and Eddie George, to me, to us, they're in the same book. Mm-hmm. They had hellified careers. But I can't say what their super defining moment was
mm-hmm.
that makes me say that was his Hall of Fame moment right there. We for love of God, if you guys know something that me and Rob are missing, especially for Eddie George and Fred Taylor, go ahead, drop it in the comments. We want to know. Mm-hmm. Because we cracked our minds on, I'm trying to think of what moment was like, he was shit, really that dude. Yeah. Yeah, oh shit, he was really that guy. But Fred Taylor, another guy, like, incredibly talented running back. I think he would make a killing today. I think oh, yeah. he would make a killing today. People like him and Andy George, they make a killing today. And that's another subject, but it's a lot of guys who are running backs back in the day that probably would have been some dogs in this current NFL running over people kind of like Derrick Henry.
Can we go back? Can I go back to the Alicia? I mean, his name is Alicia. Manning thing.
Yeah.
So here's the thing with, like, you said, like, you know, you don't want to be a hater. Bro, you wouldn't be a hater, because the thing about the whole argument for Eli getting in is basically that he beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. That had, like, Tom Brady was not playing on defense, dog. He didn't.
Exactly.
He had a team that he was the Super Bowl MVP. Now, granted, he played well in those games. He was the dude in those games. I'm not going to basically take that away. But if all the rest of your 16-year career, you only had four Pro Bowls, only four, no All-Pros, no MVPs, no nothing else outside of those two Super Bowl runs. So I'm supposed to basically think that you were one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game. Because that's what you do in the Hall of Fame. That's how you make the Hall of Fame. You're one of the best quarterbacks that's played the game. I'm supposed to think that you're one of the best because of that, four Pro Bowls and those two Super Bowl MVPs. That's it. Like, that's what I'm supposed to basically take.
That's what they're pushing it off.
But he beat Tom Brady. So the fuck what? So did Nick Foles. Okay. Some people beat Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes would have beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl if his line wasn't decimated and basically they were just killing him with a rushing four. Like, the thing about it is, this whole argument is like, Tom Brady is this dude that's like fucking Goro, that you gotta beat him to get something. Like, he's the fucking bar. The thing about it is these teams, yes, they couldn't outlast the Patriots defense or Tampa Bay's defense in order to basically beat the teams that Tom Brady quarterbacked. That is absolutely true. But the fact of the matter is, it's not as if this person was that great in all of these Super Bowls that if Eli beat him twice, that it means that much of anything. The man was not picked by his peers or the fans as being one of the best quarterbacks in his time, three quarters of his career. Why would I think that is deserving? I will basically say this. If Eli Manning makes the Hall of Fame, Cam Newton better make it first. If you're going to basically tell me that Eli Manning is a better quarterback than Tom Brady, I mean, if Eli Manning is a better quarterback than Cam Newton, I will call you a fucking liar. Either you're lying or you're completely ignorant. Because you're basically weighting these Super Bowl trophies as bigger than what Cam Newton did as far as carrying a team to the Super Bowl and basically couldn't beat an historic defense in the Broncos. That's what you're telling me. That's what you're putting in my face.
They were 15-1 that year.
And they were 15-1. And he won the MVP. Like, he basically did all the things that you want as a quarterback that is known to be great. Eli Manning never did any of those things outside of those two games. Outside of those two games. So leave me. Get off that shit. Don't even bring it up. saying that Cam, that Eli Manning is this quarterback that is so damn deserving, and Cam Newton is not, or all these other, or Donovan McNabb for that matter, who basically went to four straight NFC title games and a Super Bowl, like, and made multiple Pro Bowls. If Eli Manning basically made the Hall of Fame, he'd be the only quarterback that did not win a regular season MVP and only had four or fewer Pro Bowls. Did not make an All-Pro either. So the thing about it is, you're saying that this person is one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played this game. I think that's bullshit. And I cannot stop thinking that's bullshit.
I can definitely see where we're going with it. So I'm not saying keep him out, but it got to be some other people go in before him.
I say keep his ass out. I'll go on the record. Keep his ass out.
Rob, so I'm going to keep you.
Because the same thing as Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford only made two fucking Pro Bowls. Like, the thing about balloons. But the thing about it is, we got to have a set of standards when it comes to this shit. Or we just going to say, hey, let everybody in. Because if we're going to just say, hey, let everybody in, fuck it. Let's go. Let's put Donovan McNabb in there. Let's put Cam Newton in there. Let's put any that boy nice in there. But let's not even have this fucking argument then. Let's not talk about it. Let's put Lamar in there today. Let's put Josh Allen in there today. Let's not even care. Let's just basically put everybody that we feel should be in, not a set of standards that we basically say why somebody should make it. Just say, hey, if I say, that person should be in the Hall of Fame. Let's be ridiculous, everybody. Let's just be ridiculous.
And that is Rob ranting about Eli Manning.
And I keep going. You better be glad I'm trying to keep this shit to an hour. Because I keep fucking going with this shit. All right? Because I really feel... I don't feel too much in my regular everyday life that I feel about how this motherfucker should make the Hall of Fame. I can't really think too many things that I get passionate about, outwardly passionate about, than this motherfucker making the Hall of Fame. Eli, I respect you. I just don't respect your resume. And I don't respect your resume as compared to the other legends that we have in the game. I just don't. If you disagree with that, that's fine. We could talk it out. We could squab it out. But the thing about it is, I feel like this about this, and I ain't getting off of it. I am not. And I'm going to try, because we got a whole bunch of other shit that we actually want to talk about. I'm going to get off of it. I'm going to shut the fuck up. All right? I'm going to stop. All right?
With that being said, you guys know the Chiefs are going into this game today as the favorite to win, because you know it's goddamn Patrick Mahomes. It's Patrick Mahomes. That boy nice. Now, with that being said, Rob does have an analogy for the Chiefs.
Yeah. So I've been mulling this shit over and like trying to think about, okay, what is the equivalent of what the Chiefs are? Me and Nate, we're both wrestling fans. I'm wearing a wrestling shirt. You know, shout out to Pro Wrestling Tees. I think that's where I got this from. Either way, shout out to Pro Wrestling Tees. But essentially, I was trying to think of like, what's the best analogy for what this Chiefs team is? And I figured it out after a while. And it's really more that you guys, we've been watching the bloodline. We watched Roman Reigns become world champ. We watched that rise. We watched that fall. Everything about that. In the time that basically that man was champ, you had people that was like ready for basically to eject from it. You were ready. It's like the natural inclination of wanting to basically see something new. And so when it comes to the Chiefs, they are that old champion. They've been there for so long. They are the people that have been rising up and basically making it to where everybody sees this team as the quintessential team in all of the league. This is the creme de la creme. This is the mountaintop. This is who we basically see as the godlike divine figures of what the NFL stands for. And so when it comes to this team, even though people's like, yeah, Taylor Swift is a lot, you know, the refs are a lot, people are just tired of seeing this team in. And so I think of it as the world champ that basically has had the title thousands of days or 1,000 days, like a Roman Reigns, where it's not as if like that is so bad and people usually like long title reigns. It's the fact of the matter of there's been nothing new that's come up to supplant this team, to kick this team off the mountaintop. And so I think people are at the point that it's like the champ has basically been there. He's been making it by. Basically, you know, some of the wins ain't as dominant as what they used to be. Some of the losses seem more critical than what they used to be. And it's just like, okay, you see all the chinks in the armor. Now, what do we do about this? And there's nothing we can do. We're sitting on the sidelines. But seeing that this team is basically still there and they're about to, they're 2 wins away from a three-peat. Like, that's where it's like, you're ready to see them just go somewhere else and you're ready to see somebody else come up. So,
well, no, that's,
I mean, maybe.
I'm ready for them to get this three-peat.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see the three-peat too, because I have not seen a three-peat. Like, and there hasn't been a three-peat in a lot of years.
In the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, it hasn't been a three-peat because everybody else, like, whether you talk about the Cowboys, those Niners teams, the Steel Curtain, like, basically it was two and then, you know, it might have been 3 and 4 years, even the Patriots. It was 3 and 4 years, but never, like, three straight. So, I think the last was, like, what, the NFL Championship. I think that was, like, the last three-peat. But, like,
need him to bring it home and win the third one. And, look, I root for Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs, every chance I get. And I'm going to let you know something. If he wins this, I just want to let all you Tom Brady fans know that he did something that your quarterback couldn't do. Okay? This is just how, that's how I'm going to throw it at you.
Mm-hmm.
My homeboy did something that your quarterback couldn't do. And what'll make it even more special is the fact that Tyreek Hill isn't there. Not for not one, but two of them.
Yeah, that was still wild.
And he would have to sit in silence and suffer, because right now he's trying to get his ass out of Miami
with all them damn kids.
All them damn kids. I mean, a boatload of them.
Every last one.
But hey, he making all that money. I guess he said, "Shaka, had kid after kid after kid after kid."
God bless, because I wouldn't.
Yeah, even if I had all that money, nah, bro, that's a lot of responsibility.
Nigga, I got two, and that's two enough.
He's like, I'm good.
Hey, nah, Brody. Like, I, God bless.
I'm good with that one. But yeah, the Chiefs will have done something with a three-peat that nobody else has done, and I know a lot of people, oh, the NFL is rigged, and blah, blah, blah. And Stephen A. said something that I don't think a lot of y'all think about. If there's 32 owners, why would 31 people say, "We're going to let the Chiefs win again"?
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that. We all trying to win.
Because the fact of the matter is, what people don't think about, even though they see Roger Goodell out there and everything like that, the league is run by all of the owners. The thing is, they appoint Roger Goodell to be in that person, to basically be the lightning rod for your anger. Those niggas all run the league. Like, they all have to come to consensus and basically say what shit should go down. If they like, oh, well, we should have the Chiefs basically being up there, they're going to be like, it's going to be the fucking Titans like, why the fuck I ain't up there? It's going to be the Raiders like, why the fuck I ain't up there? It's going to be the Chargers. It's going to be the Jaguars. All them niggas going to be like, why not me? Hold on.
Browns fans, Raiders fans, y'all think that y'all owners wouldn't have been fighting for one if the NFL were, hey, I need
yeah,
to be
up. Yeah, like, I want a Super Bowl. Vikings, like, I want a fucking Super Bowl. We've been a bridesmaid for so goddamn long. Like, nah, they gonna all basically be like that.
That's a shame that some of y'all really think that this is rigged. It really is. Nah, we're not gonna harp on that too long. My buddy, my pal, my co-host right now,
that's me,
is so happy and is to the tune of, you know, Josh Allen has to run the gauntlet of black quarterbacks right now to win. Because back in the day, we ain't had too many black quarterbacks, okay?
Mm-mm.
Usually, if it was one black quarterback, he had to run through a bunch of white quarterbacks. But, you know, we changing the game. Josh Allen has to literally run the gauntlet of today. He has Patrick Mahomes in front of him. And then he's going to have to either face Jalen Hurts or
Jaden Daniels
if he can make it through Patrick Mahomes.
And that's after having already had to go through Lamar Jackson, who might win another MVP.
Yeah, I think that they're going to give Lamar the MVP. His regular season was too immaculate not to get. He might have lacked in the playoffs, but he's going to get it because of the regular season. Because we're not judging, you know.
They literally stopped the voting once the regular season ends. Yeah. So, but my thing, I think that they, and this is a sidetrack of what we actually were going to talk about, but like, I think that they actually, I could see them giving it to Josh Allen, and here's why. Even though we talked about back in the archives, y'all want to check it, like a couple weeks ago, we talked about who could be the MVP and everything. But when it comes to like, say Josh Allen, for example, they've been wanting to put this thing on him. And I would say this probably is the best case to put it on him because he lost Diggs, lost Gabe Davis. Yep. The defense was kind of up and down throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
He had 40 touchdowns unto himself. Didn't throw all that much comparatively to like other years, but he basically held onto the ball more than he had before. I think they didn't really give up that many fumbles. I think they only had like 10 fumbles all season.
Something like that.
Like he only had 6 interceptions. So he played much better than in other years, much safer than in other years as well. But he, like I said, 28 passing touchdowns, 12 rushing touchdowns, was the, like, dealing, had a rookie receiver, had, you know, Khalil Shakir, who was his first year as the number one, James Cook, who's basically, was hurt, and they still had, you know, like, other guys that had to step up. Like, as far as somebody that has carried a team throughout the season, I think this is the best case to say this person and to basically have this team up there to where they can be, you know, I can't remember what seed they were coming into the playoffs, but basically to basically carry this team. He had carried this team. It wasn't as bad as like what Cam Newton had when you had Ted Ginn being your number one receiver and having to carry that. But it was like having to carry a team that did not have any all-pro, Pro Bowl talent outside of maybe James Cook. Like on that offense, not on the offensive line, but like as far as skill players, he did that. And I can't take that away from him. And I think that they're going to give him the MVP because of that. And I'm not 100% against it. I mean, when it comes to Lamar Jackson, who had 5,000 yards from scrimmage, 41 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, you know, and basically had that team in the playoffs as well, I would still give him the edge. But I think that they're going to basically try to give it because like I said, and I've been saying it, I think that they're going to go, if not now, when. And I understand it from that standpoint because this has been probably the best case for him to make it, even though when you talk about Lamar Jackson and also they're going to probably say, well, Lamar Jackson had Zay Flowers for a fair amount of the year. He had Derrick Henry for a good amount of the year. Derrick Henry almost ran for 2,000 yards. Yeah. Like,
which is crazy because if you think about it, we had some rushes this year and you still have a guy who's, in my opinion, carrying his team rushing the ball right now in Saquon Barkley. And he's showing you that the running back ain't dead. He's still alive, but he needs them carries to get going. And I totally understand you got to put the ball in the man's hand. But yeah, if we go back, Josh has to run this gauntlet and I don't think he ever saw this coming.
Yeah, I didn't.
Nah, I will say this. The best thing that ever, in my opinion, that ever could happen to anybody is a matchup against Jalen Hurts because you know Saquon Barkley is going to get the ball a lot. That's why today, the Commanders is going to be a big, I'm going to be watching that. Because it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I gotta watch this game because I'm glad it's the first game because I'm like, this is going to be good because Jalen Hurts struggles throwing the ball sometimes. So if he's going to Draymond tonight and light it up for that 130 point game and get them to the next round and throw 200-300 yards, it might be tonight. And I think on the other side, Jaden Daniels is coming in there ready to throw for 200-300 yards and he's ready to win this thing. So this is going to be very interesting. And the Buffalo-Kansas City game, like, you got to go through Arrowhead. You got to go through that 13th man. You got to go through that loud stadium. You got to, and on top of that, you got to stand in front of Thanos with his rings on and shit. And he's looking to get another one. It's so much to go through. And the storylines, like, and I'm going to use storylines. Don't say that the NFL is rigged. The storylines of what's going on right now in the NFL are, if you write them right, it's immaculate. Because you got quarterbacks who, Patrick Mahomes, winning 15 games, his number one receiver's gone. He had lost Hollywood Brown. Xavier Worthy has to get going. Travis Kelce struggling at the beginning. He shows up play all the time. Noah Gray kicks in. All of these secondary guys. Kareem Hunt is back in the league because Pacheco got hurt.
Yep.
And them winning 15 games, if they win a Super Bowl, this will be an epic write-up. Josh Allen carrying the team. No Gabe Davis. No Stephon Diggs because he said he doesn't want to be here. You get Keon Coleman. You get Amari Cooper after a trade. You have Shakir appear as a new target. James Cook starts cooking in the backfield. Your defense is struggling. They're trying to get it together. Philly, Saquon, quads, monster season. Going off. Just 2,000 yards. Your quarterback hasn't been the best, but you're running the game and your defense has been on top. He's made enough throws to get you there. Will he make the throws today to actually win the game? And on the other side, and I know that a lot of you people are going to be proud of I say this one. Jaden Daniels, all probably offensive rookie of the year, in my opinion. Like we called it. Then he already comes into the league, wins two playoff games. He's finding himself in the playoffs. The kid is rocking. He's got McLaurin, Robinson Jr. He's got Austin Eckler revitalizing himself, looking good, coming out the backfield at times for him. He's poised right now. He's looking like, I've done this before. I've been here. He's looking like the kid who went to LSU and was like, all right, I'm going to help carry this team right now, and I'm going to do this. Whenever I look across the NFL, it's like, I don't think that there's a bad matchup going on right now.
Not even remote. Not even close. Yeah.
So people are locked in, and it's going to be a hell of a day today. It's definitely going to be a hell of a day, and I'm like, they with it today, bro. It's definitely happening. And all I can really say is, happy NFL Sunday to us, because it's there. It's there today. Because it's going to be there. It's going to be there today. But this should be a great thing today, though, bro. This should be A1.
Absolutely.
Now, as we move on, usually we don't talk about comics, but you know, me and Rob like to venture off into the comic world every now and then, and we wanted to talk about this. Now that Marvel is on this multi-universe thing, you know, me and Rob are thinking, how about we bring back Black Panther, you know, in another universe, in another universe. So I threw one name out there. Rob has a name. I'm going to throw my name out there first. Okay. It says we can do multi-universe Black Panther. How about Michael B. Jordan? Bring him in.
That'd be a good one.
I can see Michael B. Jordan coming back. He played Killmonger. Hey, Robert Downey Jr., played Iron Man, and now he's going to play Doom.
Exactly.
He can play Killmonger and then come back as Black Panther in an alternate in an alternate universe. That could be good. Who do you have, Rob?
So I was actually thinking of Aldis Hodge. Oh, for y'all that basically seen the show Cross, he's Cross. You know, the big dude, like stocky cat, dark skinned brother. Like, I think he'd play an excellent. I mean, you don't even have to name him. He could be T'Challa. He could be T'Challa in the other universe or whatever. But this basically alleviates the need to say that they're basically taking away a Chadwick and basically replacing him. Like, this would be a whole nother universe's Killmonger. But essentially, yeah, that's what I was thinking as far as like playing the new Black Panther, because I think that, even though Shuri is basically being the next Black Panther, it would be nice to basically keep another Black Panther there, have them basically meet up. Shuri could still be the number one. He could be the number two, because it seemed like they were trying to do that with, I guess it would be in Black Panther 2, spoiler alert.
Yep, spoiler alert.
In the credits, they had basically they had the son of T'Challa. They were trying to basically saying like that's going to be the next heir apparent. So they could do it a bunch of different ways, but it's basically, they could do it like that. But yeah, I like to see that happen. And if they're going to be doing a whole multiverse with X-Men coming in and there's going to be another Storm, basically you can have that person be the Storms. You know, you could play that storyline out as well.
Yeah.
So
bring us Black Panther back, so we'll be saying. Bring us another Black Panther. Now, we told you guys that we had to talk a little bit of NBA. So me and Rob was sitting there thinking, NBA coaches look plain. I know it's supposed to be that they just, you know, we're not supposed to make them stand out. But it might sound weird, but me and Rob are thinking, man, we're tired of looking at the NBA coaches wearing, you know, these three quarters and these sweater vests and all of this other stuff. Man, bring back these coaches in suits. Bring back my coach. My coach looks like a dapper Dan type guy who's on the sideline running this team, and not like the guy who's, you know, he's
going out to wipe up the sweat or going out to basically check to see if somebody's playing the hand.
Yeah, man, I don't want him looking like the staff. I want him looking like a coach. Bring back the Chuck Daly's.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Daly was a fly ass coach, bro. The hair, the suit, the watch. It's fly as hell.
Pat Riley.
Pat, another one. Pat was fly as hell. Pat knew what he was going to do. I need my coaches to look like that now.
You know who I think will really like take this to another level? Ime, especially because that man is out in the streets again. That man will basically take it to another level. All these other cats either married or like, you know, boring. But like, Ime, that motherfucker is gonna basically be like out there, fucking had the Richard Mille's, had the fucking like nice ass, you know, suits, you know, like, yeah, like Italian. Like, that motherfucker would take it to another level. I'm sure would.
He definitely could. And I'd appreciate that if he did, because I'm tired of looking at these guys like this. I'm tired of it. It's getting on my nerves, because I literally was watching the Celtics game yesterday, and I said, how does Joe Mazzulla look like he works on the staff instead of coach?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it gives it that, like, okay, now you are the head coach, because Joe Mazzulla, that motherfucker weird. I can't really say too many things outside of that motherfucker's weird. And I want to see him, like, what he does with a suit. Like, what he basically, like, how he basically does this whole thing, like, starting to put back a suit. I think he'd probably still be in the warm-ups in the quarter zip. Like, I think he still basically will rock that shit.
Yeah, it's a lot with him. He's one of the people I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But he coaches really well. He coaches really will, but he's just weird to me. He's weird at the same time. He really is. Now to me, Rob vented about watching NBA coaches dress like slackers. We wanted to talk WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Best tag team finishing moves. Rob, tell me what your favorite one was.
Oh, Doomsday Device. Bro Warriors, like, or I guess Legion of Doom within WWE. Like, yeah, man, the fucking boom, hey, going off the top rope, like, yeah. Now Doomsday Device is my favorite. Actually, no, sorry, I'm thinking the starting line. Now Doomsday Device, bow, like right off, like, yeah. Now that was my favorite. Nobody, that was probably not the favorite of the person that was taking it, but basically, yeah, like, I like the starting.
I can tell you now, I'd have been in the goddamn line, right? You want me to take what?
I mean, to be real. To be real, from what I heard, like, with the Road Warriors and how stiff they were whenever they were pulling off moves, dog, like, that probably was, like, shit, at least this is the finish. Like, they were like, I don't gotta basically take these niggas beat my ass anymore. Like, I can now be like, okay, fine, I take this one last move, and I'm out of here. I go for the 3 second tan, like John Cena said, look up at the lights and be like, okay, cool, pay me my money. So shout out to Shelton Benjamin, pin me, pay me. Like, yeah. That's probably what they were like.
Get the hell up out of here with that one. But that's me. I'll say this. My favorite one, and it's because it involved the tables at times, was the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed Doomsday Device too, but it was Devon!
Get the
table! And it's like, yeah, you know what's about to happen to your ass? Nothing.
Yeah. And then, like, with the crowd, they go, 3! Boom. Like every time, basically, as soon as Devon pick him up, it's like.
And to me, they had one of those iconic entrances with the missile fire coming in at the beginning. They were on top of shit. Whenever they'd hit you with a 3D, it was, you throw you into the ropes, 3D, you get 3D through a table, you can get 3D through two tables. You never know. It all depended upon how the night was going for you.
Didn't even matter. Every way you could get it.
Yeah. And some notable ones, you had the Steinerized and the Steiner DDT. That was good. Heart Attack.
Yep, Heart Attack.
Yeah, a Heart Foundation, which they're always, you notice something? They may not have the best of anything, but they have a lot of consistency across the board of having tag teams. You had a guy who was a hot champ. You had a guy who won the Slammy and turned it into a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
The Heart Foundation really has a lot of cachet in the wrestling world, for sure. They really do. Shawn Michaels had one with a Jannetty back in the day, Rockerplex. That was it was all right. Usos got some good shit.
The 1D.
Yeah, 1D. What else would you think of?
Like you brought up earlier, with American Alpha, Grand Amplitude. That was a nice one. Ascension. I loved Ascension's one, even though it was a blatant ripoff of Old Boys and ECW. What was that? Not Natural Boy. The Natural. Not the Naturals. Who? Perry Saturn's old team.
The Radicals.
No, not the Radicals. Perry. It was when he first got in. It was like Perry Saturn and not Scotty Riggs. It was like Perry Saturn and somebody else. But basically, yeah, y'all could tell me who the team is, but that was, it was basically their shits. I'm gonna have to look that shit up actually. And also, DeWanda Wise is who I was thinking about as far as playing Storm. I know that was very scattered, but I was trying to think of the name and I couldn't think of it until I Googled it. But yeah, I'm going to Google this one. That was another one. Shatter Machine. Love Shatter Machine from FTR. Shout out to FTR. Yeah, but those were the ones that I could think of.
Him and John Cronus.
Yeah, John Cronus. What was their team name?
The Eliminators.
The Eliminators. Yeah, that's what it was. That was who Ascension basically ripped off. But yeah, Eliminators, their move, whatever it was called.
Yeah, that was another one. Who else?
Total Elimination. That's what it was called. Yeah, no, I love Total Elimination.
There you go. Let's see what else. It's quite a few of them that was nice. You know, some people kind of count Extreme Combination where Jeff Hardy and then with Twist of Fate and then the Swanton off the top Swanton, which that's a move. You know, I watched like interviews with them and they were like, man, it's just. We did some shit, and I was like, yes, y'all did.
Yeah. I would say the Creed Brothers finisher I do love as well. Basically, where Julius gets the person up on the shoulders, and then Brutus does the Brutus ball. Like, I love that one, too. So,
and even though this was illegal, I enjoyed it. The Concerto. Edge and Christian. It might have been illegal, but seeing two people wind up chairs and smack somebody across the head at the same time clamping them, that was just some, you know, some next level shit at the time. You feel me? That just literally was next level shit to me, and I enjoyed watching it. The good days. The
good old days.
Yeah.
Memories.
Just great shit to watch. Just great shit to watch that we watched B-wise, tag team wise. And it was, you know, it was great. Now, moving on, we have to talk this before we get to the last thing that Rob wants to talk about. Do you guys ever think, because LeBron is still playing at a high level, he may not be dominating the league, but do you guys ever think that we'll get to a point where there'll be a guy who's 40-50 in a sport dominating that sport? Do you think that is possible to happen?
Because I was thinking about with technology and how basically you got guys like, say, Novak Djokovic, Andy Murray, or Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer. Like, they were basically playing, into their 30s, well into the 30s. Serena Williams, same thing. She was playing well into her 30s. You know, where tennis players basically used to go out at 20, in their 20s. You got LeBron, who basically is in his 40, or basically is 40. And then basically still playing in the league at such a high level. I'm thinking Tom Brady, for example. play well into his 40s with how technology and how basically sports medicine and sports nutrition and other things possibly being at play. It's like, I feel like there's going to be somebody at 45 that's going to be one of the best players in the league. You know, granted, you can say Tom Brady, and, you know, at the time he was. But I'm thinking, like, as far as, like, basketball, baseball, you know, you thinking of those guys basically still being in. And the one thing that basically made me think about this was, like, Justin Verlander. Like, Justin Verlander is basically about to be on San Francisco. He's going to play for the Giants, which I can't wait till we talk about baseball. Like, we got 60 days until opening day. I honestly cannot wait to talk about some more baseball. But, like, having somebody like that still be in the league with how well he's pitched, you know, in the league and still being like up there into his like, shit, I think Justin Verlander, I think this is like his, I'm going to look up right quick, 20th year, you know, like somebody like that still being in the league, dog, like that's pretty fucking nuts. Even though he didn't have a great year. Yeah, this would be year 21. 20. Yeah. So, and because we had the same thing with Roger Clemens.
And I have, like, watched your career. I have literally watched your career because you've been here that long for me to pay attention that long.
Since we were kids, dog. Like, think about it.
He's been pitching since 05. I was still in high school, and now we in 24, 25. He only had 1 year he didn't play, and that was in 21.
Yeah.
Dude has been out there.
But that's what I'm saying. There. Like, with how things go, like, I feel like in the next, like, 20 years, we're going to have somebody that's 45 and still basically be in the league as one of the best players. Like, you know, straight up. Or multiple.
You know what's going to be the turning point? Stem cells. Stem cells is going to be the turning point. If they allow them the stem cells, and the other thing that I think that they need to kind of allow, because I don't count it as juicing, it's the blood transfusion shit.
The Kobe shit?
Yeah. I don't count that as cheating, because he's not injecting a steroid into him or something.
Right. You know? It's the blood spinning.
Yeah. Even though, and I've been on record saying this on here, in baseball, if steroids made such a big difference, why isn't Jose Canseco 600 home runs in? I think he hit five, but why isn't he? No, he didn't hit five. I don't even think he hit five or four.
It was like four or something, I think. Let me see.
If steroids play such a big part, why isn't he 500, 600, 700 club? Why isn't he there? There you go. He's close, but he's not there. And he struck out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some hand-eye coordination. I understand what a lot of y'all are saying. Well, if he can hit the ball hard, he still got to touch it.
Even though the recovery still has to touch it. Like, you still got to do it. You still got to be effective.
And to be honest with you, to recover, if you're using something to recover, let's just throw this out here. To recover, not saying during the game, to recover. Isn't this the purpose of his career? He's making money playing a sport. Mm-hmm. Has to be able to recover. Let's just throw that one out there. Maybe you guys should think about it. It's certain things that I think these sport owners and league owners and league like committees need to look into. That's not doping, and it's shit that should be, hey, I'm going to improve the longevity of players and their lifestyles after they finish playing the game.
Well, we talked about this, like, well, I kind of talked about it where I was talking about designated immortals, like people that basically are going to be there just because they need to be there. I think the thing when it comes to, like, for one, we still don't know who all did steroids. We know who tested positive. We know who got, you know, ended up in the Balco investigation, but we don't have an actual factual definite number of who did steroids in baseball. We don't. Like, because the people that basically testified in front of a grand jury, in front of a Congress, the people that testified, only one of them actually tested positive for steroids. The only one that tested positive for steroids was Rafael Palmeiro. So out of the Curt Schillings, the Sammy Sosa's, the Mark McGwire, even though Mark McGwire took Androsterone, which basically was legal at the time, Roger Clemens, none of them tested positive for steroids. They all were in the Balco investigation, but never actually tested positive. So the thing about steroids is you can basically test and still pass. And that's the thing that we have to keep in mind. People cheated, but we don't know who cheated. We just know who got caught. It's like speeding. Like you can have somebody going, you know, 50 above the speed limit, but if they get caught, they get caught. If they don't, then it's, you know, does it count or whatever? But like, nah, man, that's what we gotta like actually keep in our minds of. We don't know who actually did steroids. We really don't.
Let's see. Why did it do that?
Yeah, I think you frozen.
Yeah, and we're back. Yeah,
we're back. But
we have to figure out what actually went on, because there's no definite. There's just a lot of.
Here's what I think happened,
and I feel like that even dampened Sammy Sosa's career, because they say until they recently like put him in the Cubs Hall of Fame ring.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they hadn't had communication with Sammy in like 10, 15 years or something like that.
Maybe it's because they were like, that can't be Sammy. And they just saw him. They saw the light-skinned dude that basically is perpetuating that dude. Like if you go from chocolate ice cream to strawberry ice cream, it's kind of hard to basically be like, oh, that's the same dude. This dude might be in witness protection. So you might be like, hey, I don't want to basically call a dude out. He looked like somebody I know in this name, Sammy Sosa. But that light-skinned man is not the dark-skinned man that I knew. So this that's what I'm saying. Like, that might be it. That might actually be what the Cubs were talking about. Like, look, the one that the Sammy Sosa that I knew was basically looked like Nutella. This looks like strawberry shortcake. Like, this what the true. Fuck is going on? Like, I don't know. So I'm just not going to ask anything. I'm not going to talk to him. That man doing what he do. So let me just let him be him in his light skin, and in like light skin ways, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But maybe. Now, as we come to a close and we wrap up our show, there is a prospect in baseball.
Yes, this is what I really want to talk about.
Rob is very happy to talk about this. Rob, go ahead and let the people know what the man's name is.
Everyone, I just want to let you guys know that in 2025, in the year of our Lord or whatever, there is a prospect currently in the Brewers farm system named Jesus Made. I repeat, there is a prospect from the Dominican Republic who is a shortstop for the Brewers in their minor league system. Currently, he's got a nice OPS. He's got a one OPS, you know, being rookie ball. That's named Jesus Made. J-E-S-U-S, last name M-A-D-E, Jesus Made. I want to let you guys know and make sure you're not surprised that there is a prospect, I repeat, named Jesus Made, okay? He might be coming up soon, you know, in the next few years, or rise, you know, from his tomb of the minors to come to a ballpark near you, Milwaukee. He might be coming to Busch Stadium as Jesus Made. His name, I repeat, is Jesus Made. He is the 56th ranked number 56 prospect in all of baseball, according to MLB.com. And his name is Jesus Made.
This is going to be hilarious whenever he gets there. I hope that he makes it. I hope that he has a great career. So we can come on here and see. You know, Jesus Made hit a home run.
Jesus Made did the damn thing today. You know, it says that he's supposed to come up in 2028. So, you know, that's when we can expect, you know, Jesus to rise in 3 years. You know,
I need you to do this. Jesus, I need you to do this.
Jesus Made.
I need you to do this. Okay. I need you to do this, guy. Now, as we close the show, we must talk about this. Well, we must let you guys know. It's been a somber moment right here. We say goodbye to the Bromigos podcast Twitter page.
It's so high.
And you guys may say why. Well, we're gonna we had to go ahead and kill it off. X was doing too much. And with X doing too much, we can't be out here dealing with all of this shit. So, with that being said, the Brum Eagles podcast Twitter page is dead. And Rob's beautiful rendition of it, it's so hard to say goodbye. But we got good news. You can catch us on Blue Sky.
Blue Sky, baby.
Just like Twitter, we have Blue Sky account, same page name, Brum Eagles podcast. Don't worry, we'll have the link. We'll have a link tree now that'll give you all our socials. You can find us everywhere you need to do. We'll post that. And like I said, you know, thanks for coming out. Thanks for talking with us. Like, comment, subscribe. Don't forget to tell your people about us. And what do you want to say before we get about it, Rob?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Can't wait to watch these games that's coming on today. Like they said, I'm excited for both games. This is going to be great matchups. And rest in piss, Twitter.
Yeah. So with that being said, Brum Eagles podcast, and we're out of here. Peace.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Brum Eagles podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.